To put your minds at ease, my thinking is that Grandma's ham was delicious, and that's the reason for the tradition. It's my thinking that that ham probably was the product of being raised on their own property. That ham was probably coated in salt. And that ham probably was put in a smokehouse and smoked for a particular period of time. And great-grandma, or someone, went out to the smokehouse, either cut part of the ham off or used the whole ham, I don't know which, and brought it in the house and was preparing that ham. The story goes that she took a knife and she cut off part of it and took the knife and cut off a part of it and put it in the pan and prepared it. Evidently, she had a daughter that was watching, and as years go by, the daughter got married, and she was fixing a ham, and she fixed it the same way as her mother did. And evidently, she had a daughter also, and that daughter saw that her mother prepared a ham in a certain way, and she did also. And it goes on one more time down, and the daughter saw that the mother was fixing the ham, and her husband says, "How come you take the knife and you cut this, and you take the knife and you cut that?" And she says, "I don't know." So she goes and she starts asking. The great-grandmother is now dead, but the great-granddad was still alive, and they ask him. And his comment was, "Well, probably so that the ham would fit in the pan." And that's why she trimmed it. And that's why all down through the years, mother and daughter had fixed the ham in the same manner. Individuals have traditions. Families have traditions. Congregations has traditions. Nations has traditions. We have a tradition, the Lung family. Thanksgiving. I don't know when it started, but I know that in my thinking back, my mother always fixed oyster dressing for my dad because he liked it. I don't remember anybody except he and myself of ever eating oyster dressing. We have a tradition. My daughter fixes oyster dressing for me. Nobody likes the smell of it. They won't touch it. They won't eat it. I'm the only one that dips a little out. It's a tradition. Traditions are very important to the cohesiveness of a family. They're very good for the cohesiveness of a congregation. But generally, when we think of in terms of traditions, it's not the cohesiveness that is bringing individuals together. But sometimes, because of traditions, people quarrel and they don't speak and they bicker and they threaten to leave, and it tears the congregation apart, all because of tradition. And I guess the conclusion that we can come to is that somebody, instead of trying to bring cohesiveness to a body or to a group, has determined that there is only one way, and that's my way, and this is my pet, and we're going to do it regardless. A congregation is a blending of individuals with one specific goal, and that goal is to glorify and praise Jesus, his Father, and that's to take precedence in the congregation. It's not the traditions, it's not my pet, and it's not your pet. Traditions can be good or they can be bad. Traditions is just a handing down or a handing over to somebody else. But traditions has been a problem in congregations for years. Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus is asked a question. The scribes and the Pharisees, they come to Jesus and they say, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat?" And Jesus says, "Why do you transgress the law of God by your tradition?" Now, evidently, the tradition of washing their hands before they ate went back years to people perhaps they never even knew. I don't know the reason why that the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him this question. Maybe it was because the disciples were very strict and they were very conscientious, and maybe that was why that the scribes and the Pharisees, and they used, "Well, yeah, you're saying that we ought to be very, well, why aren't you doing this?" Maybe that was the reason, I don't know. But they thought that or at least the tradition says they had to wash their hands. Now, it's not a washing of the hands like we would think today, that you go out and you get your hands dirty, and before you eat, why, you go ahead and use some soap and water and you wash your hands and you get your hands clean. No, they ceremonially washed their hands in a lot of water. And sometimes they went clear up in their wrists, and sometimes it was decreed that they go up to the elbow ceremoniously to wash. And it wasn't just a very simple way. It took time for all of that to happen. One of the rabbis had said that if people don't ceremoniously wash their hands, it's as bad as adultery. And these people are coming to Jesus and said, "How come your disciples don't?" There wasn't any law that said that they had to do this. The Ten Commandment law and all of the other laws that were associated with that compromised a body of law that was given by God and that had to be kept. But the traditions are those things that surrounded that body of law, and they have elevated the traditions that are surrounding that body of law to be equal with God's law. And Jesus very pointedly said, "You guys are hypocrites." He says, "The law so says that you have to honor your father and your mother." Now, the word honor has long definitions and meaning. Honor is to respect and submit and hold up and to elevate and to nourish and to support and to enrich. He said, "You guys are hypocrites to the extent there is a person who they don't particularly want to spend their money on dad and mom. Maybe they don't particularly like dad and mom. And so they take what money that they were going to spend on dad and mom and they would give it to the temple and therefore they could say, oh, we don't have the money to do for dad and mom. We gave it to the temple and that was their tradition. And they didn't do anything for dad and mom." And Jesus says, "You guys are hypocrites. To the extent that the body of the law says to honor dad and mom." And he says, "By your tradition, the money that is given surrounding that, you've despised the commandment of God. You've made it worthless, of none effect, by your tradition." Now there is, when we talk about traditions, and there is a big difference that we need to make when we talk about traditions, and that's the source of the tradition. Is the source of the tradition, did it come from God or did it come from mankind? And that's really the only thing that we need to look at as far as the traditions. What was its source? Galatians, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul says, "I didn't get the gospel by man. I was not taught the gospel by mankind. I got it by revelation from Jesus Christ." Now, is the gospel that we have today a tradition? Yes, it is. It has been something that has been handed down. But Paul says, "I didn't get it from mankind. I got it directly from the revelation of Jesus Christ." Second Timothy, the second chapter, verse number 2. Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, "What you have heard of me, commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now that is the passing down of a tradition. Paul did not get the gospel from mankind. It was from Jesus Christ. But he says, "Timothy, you are now the link between me and other individuals. I want you to pass this down." 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse number 20. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed unto your trust." That which has been passed down by you, keep. Don't let anything happen to it. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse number 37. The Apostle Paul again says that the things that the apostles have said, he says, I want you to know that those things are the commandments of God. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 15. He says, I want you to stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Two ways that traditions are passed, vocal and by written word. And he very specifically says, I want you to hold fast those traditions. Galatians, the 1st chapter, verses 6 and 7. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Make sure that the traditions that have been passed down are kept. They are not changed. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse number 3. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Jude, the 1st chapter, verse number 3. He says that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once given to the saints. Now, in all of those scriptures, what have we accomplished? Jesus Christ gave the revelation of the gospel to the Apostle Paul. It was passed down in this regard to Timothy. Timothy was charged to pass it on down to faithful individuals. What will we conclude? Worship is serious. It's not to be played with. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not performed to be a show. Worship is done by an individual. Worship is done by a congregation. Worship is to reflect the goodness and graciousness of God, of Christ. We're to commune with one another. We're to meditate. We're to study. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there in their midst. But he also says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And this is where the tradition has come in and kicked out the gospel. And when it has kicked out the gospel, Jesus is not going to be there. He's not going to be party to whatever is going on and the changes that have been made. Now we go back to Matthew the 15th chapter and verse number, 1, 2, and 3 or thereabouts. And it says that there were individuals who went from Jerusalem up to Galilee, about 80 to 100 miles. Why did they go up there? Did they go up there to pick a fight with Jesus and his disciples? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the one thing that Jesus did is in that narrative, he had no sympathy for a system that reduced worship to a ritualistic observance. He wanted a worship that was from the heart, something that was meaningful to him and to the individuals that were involved. And he accused the Pharisees of putting their commandments on a level of divine authority. and you look at today and in history, you have all kinds of conventions. You have all kinds of edicts where the source of that which is brought into the church is man. It's not God. It's not Christ. And that's the problem that we have with tradition. Jesus said, yes, you wash the cups and the pans and the vessels and the couches, and you wash all things. But what did it accomplish? It didn't accomplish what Jesus wanted as far as the gospel, what he wanted it to accomplish. We live in a period of time today that people want to modernize the gospel. They want to trivialize some of the things that we believe. They want to remove some of its authority. They want to bypass some of the penalties that would be incurred. And all of you have taken multiple choice tests where you can choose from A and B and C and D. That's all of the above. That's kind of what we have today in religious circles, is make your choice, A, B, C. What traditions do you want? We have to learn that we need to cultivate peace, but it has to be with discernment. It has to be without doctrinal compromise. We must have a very deep confidence that the Bible is correct, and we must stand upon that. Traditions may be nice, they may be wise, they may be expedient, but they cannot be elevated to the status of a law of God. We have to recognize when there are things within our society that needs changing that we can change. When it is of convenience or when it is of a procedural matter and it's not a spiritual thing, tradition would be okay. Many times, younger people they're pointed out. They're the ones that's wanting to do the changing, and then they point back at the older people and say, "You guys are set in your ways. You don't want to change." The older individuals, been around for a period of time, they see the comfort in that which they have been doing. It's nostalgia to some, and they see what's happened in the past, and it hasn't necessarily been wrong, and so they say, why change? When the emphasis is upon tradition, we miss the most important part of our services. One of the questions that I was supposed to answer was, looking at the congregations today, can we say that we're like first century churches? Probably to some extent. The first century church, they had problems. one of the doctrinal problems was circumcision. Then they had other problems about the Lord's Supper and how to do it, and they were told to wait on one another, and they were told not to mix it with other things. They had problems too. They weren't perfect, and neither are we going to be perfect. Congregations, there are some that are in the city, some urban, some farming, some older individuals, some congregations made up of. Are there going to be differences? Yes, there's going to be differences. But it cannot be in the gospel that is prevented or presented and believed and kept. John, the 12th chapter, verse number 21. There was a group of Greeks that came to Jesus. There was a group of Greeks who came to Philip. And they asked Philip a question. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Well, Philip went and got Andrew, told him. And Philip and Andrew went to Jesus and told him. We're not told what happened. But I'm after that particular phrase. There were individuals who came and asked Philip. Okay, there are individuals who come and have asked you. We would like to see Jesus. What are you going to show them? Are we going to show them tradition? Are we going to show them the gospel? Are we going to show them a comprehensive message? Of the gospel? Are we going to show them a message that's clouded with human origins and human things that we want to do? Would Jesus and his church be recognizable to them? 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 2 through 5. The Apostle Paul, he says, "Brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," there's the traditions, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power."